Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
PMS, pregnancy, menopause. Being a woman is a lot. Ollie supports you and yours with expert solutions for every age and life stage. They just launched two new products exclusively at Walmart. Period Hero combats bloat, mood swings, and more during PMS. And Balance Perimeno to support hormonal balance, mood, and metabolism during perimenopause. Grab yours at Ollie.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Your burger is served. And this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. Its sweet profile perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger.
That is one perfect combination. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Austin.
And today we have a special episode for you. And this is actually one that was requested by yours truly.
Austin.
Austin. Oh.
Oh. It's the intro. Get it?
Kay. Yeah, I get it. Tell us about the case that you requested, Austin.
I want to know all about this P. Diddy thing because obviously he's a dirtbag, and I watch and see all of the stuff that comes across my feed about it, but I'm just literally headline reading because I don't care enough to dig in and start trying to read about it. And so I have my own like conspiracy theories in my head, but it's totally coming from like a complete lack of knowledge. And I've been thinking over and over again for days now, I wish Kelly would just do a bunch of research and tell me all about it because I trust your judgment and then I don't have to research. So that's what I'm here for.
So you're here to basically mooch off of my time spent, my intellectual critical thinking skills. Did you just snort?
No, that's exactly why I'm here.
All right. So last week we published an episode on the murder of Madeline Soto.
And I apologize because some of our audio wasn't super great. I guess people were having a hard time hearing me.
Oh, it was real quiet.
Yeah. So hopefully that's fixed. August, our 2-year-old, did break into my recording studio and press a bunch of buttons and on by my broke podcaster.
In, let me clarify real quick. By broke in, the studio is not locked. He just walked in here and pushed a button, but.
And so I'm going to blame this one on him. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. He did do that, but I don't know why it was like that. So hopefully it's better. If it's not, you guys will let me know kindly. So are you ready to get into the Sean Diddy Combs
downfall? Tell me all about it. I'm so freaking curious.
The downfall of Diddy. So I have been seeing this all over TikTok, all over the news. I really wanted to basically write this in a way that is chronological, easy to understand where it starts and where it's at now. And then at the end, we'll also talk about two kind of side note conspiracies that you're probably familiar with. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Sean Diddy Combs is a name that echoes throughout the realms of music, fashion, and entrepreneurship. Over the years, he has become a cultural icon, revered for his contributions to hip hop and his ability to create opportunities for others. His journey from a humble upbringing in Harlem to becoming a literal billionaire mogul is a testament to his relentless ambition and creativity. However, the narrative has taken a very dark turn in recent years as serious allegations and legal troubles have surfaced, threatening to dismantle the empire that he has built. Diddy's journey in the music industry began in the late 1980s. After graduating from the esteemed Howard University, he took a position as an intern at Uptown Records, where his work ethic and sharp instincts soon caught the attention of influential figures. By the early 90s, he had climbed the ranks to become a prominent talent scout, managing artists and producing hit records. However, Diddy's vision extended beyond simply promoting others, and he aspired to create his own label. So in 1993, he founded Bad Boy Records, which would become a transformative force in hip hop. The label's success skyrocketed with the release of the notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die, a seminal album that defined the East Coast rap scene. Under Diddy's guidance, Bad Boy became known for its unique blend of catchy hooks and hard-hitting beats, creating a sound that resonated with both hip-hop purists and mainstream audiences. The success of Biggie's debut was just the beginning. It set the stage for a series of hits that would define the 90s. Songs like Juicy and Big Papa not only topped the charts, but also became anthems that solidified Diddy's status as a powerhouse in the music industry.
Timeless songs, too. Like, yes. They go on Juicy, Big Papa.
Yeah, I still listen to them in the summertime.
100%. I listen to it year-round.
You're so much cooler than me.
Whatever. Keep going, babe.
Okay. So where did I leave off? So by the 90s, mid-90s, Bad Boy Records was home to a roster of successful artists, including Faith Evans, Mace, and 112.
Well, you just named three irrelevant people. Isn't there anybody bigger than that?
I thought they were important. I don't know. This is the mid-90s.
Yeah. Biggie, Mary J. Blige, Usher.
But I think they came later, babe. Look it up.
Okay, so Usher debuted in 94, but I don't know if that was with Bad Boy Records.
Okay.
Mary J. Blige debuted in 92, produced by P. Diddy.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know why I didn't include that then. And who was the other one? Usher?
Biggie. Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, well, I already said that one because Notorious B.I.G., I mentioned that a second ago. Anyway. His talent for cross-promotion became apparent as he leveraged his artist's success to build his own brand. And he was known for this lavish lifestyle, frequently appearing at high-profile events and engaging in business ventures that expanded his reach beyond just music. In 98, he launched his clothing line, Sean John, which would later win the prestigious Council of Fashion Designers of America Award for menswear. Do you own any Sean John?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Okay. Diddy's influence extended into television and film, further enhancing his public persona. He produced and starred in the reality show Making the Band, which showcased his intense and sometimes controversial management style. The show garnered significant ratings and demonstrated Diddy's ability to captivate audiences beyond music. He became a household name associated with both success and controversy, which set the stage for these future challenges. While Diddy enjoyed unprecedented success, his personal life was marked with difficulty. His relationship with Kim Porter was central to this narrative. They began dating in the mid-90s, a time when Diddy was at the height of his career, and their relationship was intense, filled with both passion and turbulence. Kim was a model and actress and often appeared alongside Diddy at events, and they had three children together, twin daughters Jessie and Delilah, and son Christian. However, their relationship was fraught with drama. They broke up in 2007, but remained closely connected, co-parenting their children while navigating the challenges of their complicated history. In public, Diddy often expressed his admiration for Kim, acknowledging her role in his life as both a partner and as a mother. And despite their separation, they maintained a bond that many found admirable, because it's not common that you break up and you can still get along afterwards, right? But then tragedy struck in November of 2018 when Kim Porter unexpectedly passed away from pneumonia. Her death left Diddy heartbroken, and he took to social media to share his grief. In a heartfelt post, he referred to Kim as his soulmate and expressed regret for not having married her. The loss profoundly affected Diddy, leading many to speculate how it might influence his behavior in the years that followed. The first significant crack in Diddy's carefully crafted image appeared in November of 2023 when his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, filed a lawsuit against him. The allegations detailed in the suit were serious. Cassie accused Diddy of rape, physical abuse, and emotional manipulation throughout their decade-long relationship. The claims shocked many who had seen Diddy as a charismatic and successful entrepreneur. One particularly alarming aspect of the allegations involved an incident that was captured on video. The footage, which was leaked to the media, showed Diddy physically assaulting Cassie in a hotel room during this heated argument. In the video, Diddy can be seen shoving Cassie against a wall, verbally berating her, and just acting like an aggressive animal towards her. The rawness of the footage served as a chilling reminder of the reality that many victims face in abusive relationships, and this graphic representation of abuse resonated with many viewers, prompting a wave of support for Cassie and calls for accountability. The lawsuit also claimed that Diddy subjected Cassie to emotional manipulation, often isolating her from her friends and family to maintain control over her. He allegedly demanded that she adhere to strict rules about her behavior, her relationships, creating an environment of fear that left her feeling trapped, which is a sentiment that many victims of DV can relate to. Cassie recounted how Diddy would use threats and intimidation to silence her, making it difficult for her to leave the relationship despite her growing awareness of its toxicity. The lawsuit was settled just one day after it was filed, and the rapid resolution of the lawsuit raised eyebrows and sparked a lot of speculation.
What was the settlement?
I don't know. It's never been released. Like, the details have not been released.
So the dude probably just threw a ton of cash and said, we're done.
Probably. But Cassie, I have seen where she spoke out about it, saying that she agreed to the terms of the settlement because it still allowed her to have some control. So I don't know what that means, but I just know that. So some believed that Diddy aimed to avoid the negative publicity of a prolonged public trial, while others felt like Cassie might have faced pressure to settle quickly, whether from Diddy's legal team or just the emotional toll of having to relive her trauma in public. And as the allegations against Diddy gained traction, discussions about Kim Porter then resurfaced, and friends and family began to reflect on her life, sharing stories that painted a really complex portrait of her relationship with Diddy. Some friends recounted moments where Kim expressed concerns about Diddy's behavior, suggesting that she had witnessed troubling patterns even during their time together. But we'll touch on that towards the end. So as 2024 unfolded, the scrutiny on Diddy intensified. Reports emerged about freak-offs. Have you heard about these?
No. Sounds like interesting.
Oh, they're interesting. These freak-offs were gatherings where women were allegedly coerced into sexual acts under the influence of drugs and intimidation. And these freak offs were like these parties or like ragers. I mean, it's way more than just a party. These parties lasted days. They were all in this room where they would all be kind of just having sex with each other. They were described as these orchestrated events where participants were manipulated and exploited, further complicating the public's perception of Diddy. And these freak offs lasted days, and they took such a toll on participants that Diddy would arrange for IVs to be administered at the end to essentially bring everyone back to life.
I've seen a lot of stuff. I'm sure everybody who, if you get on social media, have you seen it, where a lot of interviews he had and stuff, things that he said, knowing information that's out there now, is really sketchy. Mm-hmm. And I saw one the other day, but obviously pertaining to things like this, where he was on like Conan or something, and he said how they were asking him what he has at his parties. And he says, lots of alcohol, because you got to have alcohol. You know, ladies like alcohol. And then he said, you got to have water, because if you ever party with ladies, ladies like water, you know, so we keep them hydrated. And then he said, and then bedroom locks, door locks on the bedrooms. You got to have those.
He said that?
Yes. It's a crazy interview. Try to find it.
A killer party. What's the ingredient? What do you do to make just an amazing killer party?
Because I'm doing the wrong things.
Wrong thing. Okay.
This is what you need to do. Women, beautiful men for the ladies. We need alcohols.
Right.
Alcohols.
Right. Not just one alcohol.
Alcohols.
Right. Just florals. Different blend. You need the ladies. You need the booze.
If you don't have what they need, they're going to leave.
Right.
Got to keep them there.
Right.
You need locks on the doors.
Okay, this is sounding kind of dangerous now.
It's a little kinky, but
Probably,
but just check it out. You need a lot of heat.
Heat. You mean that physically the place has to be hot?
You don't have no air conditioning.
No air conditioning. No. Why is that?
Heat affects the alcohol, and it also affects, like, you know, everybody gets a little bit more comfortable and loose. Builds up a nice little sweat.
Okay, wow. That is actually really disturbing.
So there's a lot of these interviews, and this is like what's got me so intrigued about this. There's a lot of things, pictures, interviews, things that he's straight up saying like that are weird statements that now they're coming to light. And with, which I don't know the information, but knowing the information that's out there now, it's like, oh, well, that was a red flag. We just all
laughed,
turned our
it.
Head to it and laughed at
Literally,
it.
Literally, the audience is laughing when he says locks on the doors. Like, mm-hmm. What the fuck? That's a red flag, and everyone is laughing. But at the same time, I think when something is just kind of awkward and really uncomfortable and you're not really sure how to receive it, sometimes your initial reaction is to laugh. But
This is 2002, by the way.
That was interview. 2002. Yeah. How did 20 years go by with nobody saying, hey, actually, these parties are a problem?
Right.
Because what I've learned through researching about this is that he would also, and I'll touch on this again later, so I'm sorry if I repeat some things, but he would bring in commercial sex workers from out of state, so like across state lines, bring them to these parties, and he would take their phones. He wouldn't allow the girls at these parties to have their phones or to have a way out. So he's saying he's locking them in there. I can't even, like, I don't really
agree. It's sex trafficking.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's sex trafficking these people.
For sure. But also, I think about like the heat when he says you got to have a lot of heat. If I have been drinking and there's heat, I'm going to be sick. Like, I just imagine like these girls that are like swaying. They're hot. They're sweaty.
They want their clothes off because they're hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's everything about it is crazy.
And they're just being fed alcohol and drugs. And it's just like.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I can't. That's so disturbing.
Do you get into anywhere in here about Justin Bieber?
No.
Okay, so real quick, I want to say this.
Yeah.
I haven't done enough research on it. Any. Mm-hmm. This is like headline reading, okay? But supposedly, Justin Bieber, Usher, Diddy found them. I'm totally speaking out of pocket, like all speculation, okay?
Like these are rumors that have been
supposedly
talked about a lot.
He would like take like Justin Bieber at 15 years old, 15, 16 years old, take him over to his house and then just put these women on him and just say like, this is what you can have, enjoy it. And he would just inundate these young men with sex, constant sex, alcohol, drugs and everything, and create this like almost like trap that they fall into, you know?
That's really sad. So I have been seeing a lot of talk about Justin Bieber and his involvement with Diddy. And there's also been a lot of past clips of Justin when he was first coming into the scene where he is a child.
And getting absolutely...
15, 16, 17. He's getting kissed by Pink on stage.
Grabbing his ass.
Will. He's getting asked about sex and asked about detailing sex in interviews. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable. I have little girls that are fans. Like,
I can't remember who is the one where they're smelling him. There's one where they keep smelling him and saying he smells good. And he's like, this is awkward.
Oh, that's James. Oh gosh. Is it James Corden or something? Yeah. He's a TV host, but yeah, I've seen that. And it's like, he's put in these situations where he clearly looks very uncomfortable, but he's a child. Mm. And then people were like, you know, it makes so much sense that as he got older, he really kind of shut down and was trying to stay out of the public eye. He was getting very frustrated with paparazzi. He even changed his appearance to be somewhat less attractive. Like, it was just such a jump from that clean boy image where he was like very polished to then kind of looking like a little bit of a scrub, and his facial hair was grown out and his hair was a mess. I mean, people were talking about it. It's not just my personal opinion. This is what everyone was kind of noticing, was this change in his appearance. And it's not uncommon for victims of sexual abuse to change their appearance in that way in an effort to detract, I guess, like predators, right? Yeah. To be less attractive, to just keep those kind of predators away from you. It's like a tactic that victims often use.
And not to go off on a whole different tangent, but it's just, that's an interesting topic in itself. Like the young child getting completely pole vaulted into fame, massive fame that you can't control, and you have everything at your disposal. And when I say everything, it's not just money and fame. If you're in this Diddy situation, I mean, it's women, it's drugs, it's everything.
Everything. Power.
And when you're 15, 16 years old, who can handle that?
Right. Who was guiding him? Yeah. I mean, it was like Diddy and Usher and Scooter Braun at the time, I think, who were like kind of guiding him. Mm. So I don't know all the details, and I don't want to like obviously speak for Justin Bieber because it's not like I know him, but it does seem like from the outside looking in that this is very problematic, and it's sad that it's only now being realized that it's problematic, that all of this is problematic. But the term freak-offs became synonymous with Diddy as more victims came forward with these allegations. And descriptions of these gatherings revealed a very disturbing reality where women felt pressured to participate under false pretenses. Many women recounted how Diddy allegedly used his power and influence to maintain control over the situations, leading to feelings of fear and intimidation. He would threaten their safety, their reputation, and their careers if they didn't cooperate. Witnesses detailed instances where women were drugged and coerced into sexual activities, which were often recorded as well. And during a lot of these perverse acts, Diddy would just sit in a corner of the room, watch what was going on, and masturbate in front of everyone while they were all essentially performing for him. And the sheer number of individuals coming forward indicated a very troubling pattern, leading to growing calls for accountability. Like, who else was involved in this? Who else is culpable? Because certainly he didn't act alone. And people who didn't speak up about this shit should also be held accountable. Like, many big celebrities frequented these parties that ultimately resulted in freak-offs. So to say that none of those celebrities knew what was going on would just be grossly ignorant.
It's nuts.
So the situation escalated dramatically when Diddy was indicted on multiple federal charges in September of this year. So literally just a week or so ago.
Wait, so when did he flee the country?
That was back in March when his place was getting raided.
Okay. And is that when they found all the baby oil?
Yes.
And how many jugs of baby oil did they find?
1,000.
That's a lot of baby oil.
1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Did you see what his attorney said?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, his attorney said that obviously, you know, that in the day and age we're in Costco and stuff, people buy things in bulk.
That was his excuse.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no. Not good enough. I mean, at least say like, oh, we just sometimes have those parties like in old school where like people wrestle like a, what is that? Like jelly wrestling or whatever, like where they fill it with KY jelly and the girls wrestle like in that movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like, you could have at least come up with a better lie than, oh, we just buy things in bulk, like grab a pallet of granola bars and a pallet of baby oil. That's totally normal.
Yeah. Mark Agnilfio spoke about the disgraced hip hop mogul's arrest, and federal prosecutors claimed that Homeland Security found 1,000 bottles of baby oil. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, that's the TMZ guy. Delete what I just said. I'm an idiot.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the charges included.
Wait, his attorney did say that. His attorney said there's a simple explanation for the rapper's massive supply of baby oil. He buys in bulk.
That's it.
Yes. Sorry, I just thought that was funny.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. Come and be a winner. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max Bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max Bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
When life brings the blah, add more Yabba Dabba Doo with some tasty Fruity Pebbles. Early morning meeting, blah. Someone brought the pebbles? Yabba Dabba Doo! Run errands, blah. Head to the store for pebbles, Yabba Dabba Doo! Fruity Pebbles, less blah, more Yabba Dabba Doo. Pick up Pebbles cereal today. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
It is funny.
Not
like
funny, but
the situation is not funny, but like the stupidity of that comment is funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, the charges included sex trafficking and racketeering, and the now unsealed indictment detailed a long history of abuse, manipulation, and exploitation, painting a very grim portrait of Diddy's actions over the years. Prosecutors alleged that Diddy used his wealth and influence to control and exploit women, coercing him into these sexual acts while threatening their careers. And in the indictment, the freak-offs were described in disturbing detail, highlighting how many of the women involved felt unable to refuse or escape. Multiple women have come forward with claims of physical abuse where Diddy allegedly assaulted them. And he was also known to use the videos as like some sort of collateral against them, threatening to use the videos against them if they didn't abide by his rules. Back in March of 2024, law enforcement raided one of his properties, and here are some of the key findings from that raid. Authorities seized various controlled substances, including narcotics, that were allegedly used to incapacitate and manipulate victims during the freak-offs. Investigators also found a large quantity of items associated with those sexual gatherings, including the 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant, which were purportedly used during these encounters, multiple firearms, including several AR-15 rifles, which were confiscated, and some of the weapons reportedly had scratched serial numbers. So they were trying to scratch off the like a VIN number, security number. You know what I'm trying to say?
Serial number. You said that.
I thought I said...
You said everything clear.
I thought I said security number. Sorry.
Anyways, yeah, they were potentially stolen or something like that. They're trying to hide the root of it.
Yeah, it raised concerns about the legality and the potential use of intimidation against victims and witnesses. They also found evidence suggesting that Diddy may have used recording devices to capture sexual encounters without anyone's consent.
That's my theory on the whole thing. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Which could serve as leverage against victims to ensure their silence. And then authorities also reportedly found documents and electronic devices that contained communications related to the alleged trafficking and abuse, including messages that detailed threats that were made to victims. They also found evidence of Diddy bringing in commercial sex workers across state lines to attend the freak-offs. So on September 16th, Diddy was arrested at the Park Hyatt Hotel in New York City. As the details of the indictment emerged, the gravity of the charges became apparent, with potential implications for both his future personally and professionally. His arrest was not just a legal matter. It symbolized a dramatic fall from grace for a man who had been celebrated as a cultural icon. Many fans, it gives me the chills, Many fans expressed disbelief at the turn of events, struggling to reconcile the allegations with the image that they had of Diddy. The shockwaves from the arrest rippled through the entertainment industry, prompting discussions about accountability and the need for systemic reform. And, you know, you hear all the time, like, about the Illuminati or, like, people having to sell their soul to be in Hollywood. And I feel like the more time goes on, the more people are waking up to just how crazy it is. Just Hollywood, but politics even. Like, you cannot trust anybody. It's like that quote from Bridesmaids, like, you cannot trust anybody. You just can't. Mm-hmm.
It's like all of that. There is truth in some capacity to all of it. Yeah. You know, it's just we won't know what it is. But I mean, the Epstein stuff, mm-hmm. It's very similar to that, in my opinion.
Oh, insanely similar.
That's, in my opinion, why I think it's going to happen.
So, yeah, we're going to touch on that because I have drawn comparisons with the Epstein case. So in the subsequent court proceedings, prosecutors presented disturbing evidence, including text messages from the victims that highlighted the fear and intimidation that they experienced, and testimonies from women who had come forward further painted this picture of Diddy's behavior. And the media coverage surrounding the trial and all this information was really intense, with journalists and commentators analyzing just every detail. As more information surfaced, it became clear that the ramifications of Diddy's actions would extend far beyond just his personal life. And the public response to Diddy's arrest was immediate and polarized. Fans expressed shock and disbelief, while others were really quick to just support the victims. Ray J, a fellow artist, publicly voiced the collective sense of betrayal felt by many in the industry. He emphasized the need for accountability, urging fellow artists to come together and create a safer environment. Other figures in the entertainment world echoed these sentiments, sharing their own stories and encouraging a more open dialogue about abuse and power dynamics. The conversation surrounding Diddy's arrest extended beyond the music industry as advocates for survivors of abuse began to raise awareness about the systemic issues that allow such behavior to persist. Obviously, this has been going on for 20 years at least, at the
very least. Probably 35, 40.
Yeah. Many called for increased protections for victims and greater accountability for those in positions of power. And I feel like that's kind of happening. Like, I feel like it's becoming more common that these people in power are being held accountable. So we love to see it. It just, if we could like do it now, that'd be great. But here's the thing. I actually believe that it's happening with Diddy, and it's evidenced by how the judge in this case is handling it all. So Diddy has been denied bail multiple times, with his attorneys proposing a $50 million bail package, which the judge rejected. The judge deemed him a flight risk due to the serious nature of the charges against him. And obviously, when his place was getting raided, he did flee. He fled to, like, what, Jamaica?
Aruba or something somewhere. Like that.
So he's already proven to be a flight risk, but he is still in custody. He's even being held in the SHU, which stands for, I think,
Solitary Housing Unit.
Oh, I thought it was Special Housing Unit. You might be right, though. But usually this means he is in a cell by himself for 24 hours a day. I think they get maybe 1 hour of, like, rec time. But it's very closely monitored. He doesn't get to be with the general population. And it's also closely monitored in case he tries to take himself out, like Epstein, who, you know, ultimately died from, quote, suicide. I don't know. We'll never really know. But also, when you're in the SHU, it's hard for anyone to contact you, even your lawyers. So he can't just call his people. And apparently his people are just dropping him. They're like, nope, we're done. Like, we don't want anything to do with this. Yeah. So he's currently being held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, which is not to be confused with the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York City, which is where Epstein was held and ultimately died from suicide.
Yeah.
So rumors surrounding Sean Diddy Combs' involvement in Tupac Shakur's death. I think I said Shakur.
I don't know. That's kind of like buried and buried. I never know what the right word is, and I get made fun of, so.
Tupac. So I wanted to talk about the conspiracy theories about his involvement in Tupac's murder. So these theories have persisted for years, primarily stemming from the rivalry between East Coast and West Coast hip hop in the 90s. And some of the key points that fueled these rumors include the fact that Diddy and Tupac were associated with the East Coast and West Coast hip hop scenes, respectively. And this rivalry was famously heightened by tensions with their respective labels. So Diddy had Bad Boy Records, and then there was Death Row Records, which was Tupac. So some theorists have suggested that Diddy may have had a motive to be involved in Tupac's murder due to the competitive nature of the music industry at the time. And allegations have circulated that he either directly or indirectly orchestrated the events that led to Tupac's murder. And the media has played a significant role in amplifying these rumors, often framing Diddy as a key figure in the East Coast-West Coast feud. And this has contributed to public speculation, despite a lack of concrete evidence. And in the years following Tupac's death, there have been multiple investigations into the circumstances surrounding the murder, with various individuals implicated over time. However, no definitive proof has emerged linking Diddy to the crime.
Super weird, though.
Okay.
In January of 2024, the authorities randomly decided that they were going to start investigating into Tupac's murder again, and they had all these leads on everything to do with Tupac. That's really all I can tell you. I just think it's really interesting that, like, what, 20, 30 years after it happened, mm-hmm. all of a sudden authorities want to investigate Tupac's death again.
And isn't then 3 months after that, P. Diddy is getting raided.
Right. It's strange. Like, is the whole Illuminati coming down?
And did this all come about because of originally what was just a homicide investigation and it kind of snowballed into something more? I don't know.
Or are we just conspiracy theorist idiots and we'll get out our tinfoil hats?
Idiots. Our tinfoil hats. So the last thing I did want to touch on, at least on my part, and you can add whatever you want at the end, but now everyone is talking about this book by, allegedly by Kim Porter. It's titled Kim's Lost Words, A Journey for Justice from the Other Side. It was released on September 6th, and the book emerged amid escalating legal troubles surrounding Diddy, which all obviously led to significant media attention and speculation. Now, the contents of this book reportedly contain reflections, diary entries, and personal insights that Kim Porter had saved on a flash drive. It touches on her life, her relationships, experiences, including her tumultuous relationship with Diddy. Within the text, Kim allegedly makes serious accusations against Diddy, including claims of physical abuse and manipulation throughout their relationship. And this aspect of the book drew particular attention, especially given the timing of all these legal issues. The book was actually published by Chris Todd, who is an LA producer, under the pen name Jamal T. Millwood. And Todd claimed that he obtained the manuscript from a close friend of Kim's, alleging that it was intended to shed light on her experiences and seek justice. Now, the release of the book was met with mixed reactions. Many fans and critics have expressed skepticism about its authenticity and the motivations behind its publication, particularly as it coincided with Diddy's arrest and all these legal troubles. But friends of Kim, including Ebony Electra, publicly denied that Kim had intended to publish a memoir ever, asserting that the book is just a fabrication. Despite the controversy, the book quickly gained traction and became a bestseller on platforms like Amazon, highlighting the public's interest in Kim's life and the complexities of her relationship with Diddy. Now, in one chapter of this book, Kim Porter allegedly wrote, so this is, I don't want to say she wrote because she didn't write the book. She wrote a lot of these excerpts that were then turned into a book, okay? So I just want to be very clear about that. But in the book, there's a part that talks about how the jealous rapper's short fuse made her walk on eggshells. And it recalled one instance where he allegedly sent her to the hospital after brutally beating her with a chair. So in this exchange that led to her hospital visit, it says, quote, "We were supposed to go out for dinner, but he was in a foul mood. Sean yelled, 'What the fuck?' I would have to walk on eggshells as I came out of the bathroom, but I found him holding flowers. So I smiled, 'You brought me flowers?' And Sean yelled, 'No, so who the fuck are they from?' I was bewildered and told him, 'Honestly, I don't know, probably just a fan.' He threw the attached card at me and I picked it up to read it. Sean, he slapped me so hard, I hit the ground. Sean yelled, 'Who the fuck were you with the other night?' I looked down at the card that was lying next to me and it read, 'The other night was amazing. We must do it again.' Now, according to this document, when she tried to explain to Sean, he threw the flowers at her and said, "That's not how this works. You have my child. You don't touch anyone unless I allow it." She also wrote that he picked up her coffee mug and slammed it against the wall. Coffee flew everywhere as he yelled, "Who the fuck this N-word think he is?" While desperately trying to calm him down, she insisted it was just coffee with the producer. It was nothing. She explained that she met up with this producer to discuss maybe her starring in another movie that he wants to produce. And at that point, Sean exploded even more, saying he wants to put the move on my fucking family at the top of his lungs. My fucking family. And then he flipped a table over, breaking it. And it was a heavy table, but Sean is stronger than he looks. It says, quote, "I pleaded with him, Sean, please. He yelled at me, 'What?' I tried my best to calm him down. He probably didn't know. It didn't come up. You're publicly dating someone else. So he screamed at me and it somehow seemed even more intense. 'So you didn't tell him to back off?' And then out of nowhere, he hit me with a chair. I don't remember anything after that until I woke up in a hospital room," end quote. Now, according to the document, Kim Porter said that when she woke up in the hospital room, quote, "My arm was in a cast, hanging from a sling. My face hurt. My eyebrow was in immense pain, as was my lip. As I came to, the first face I saw was of the man who put me here." Sean asked with concern in his voice, "How are you feeling?" And I responded, "Stay away from me." Writing in the supposed manuscript, she said that Sean apologized and told her, "I don't know what came over me," but she was afraid for her safety because they were in a private hospital room and no one would hear her. She could scream like her life depended on it, but it wouldn't matter. As she lay in the hospital bed, the musician allegedly said, quote, "I was just so jealous. You know how I am. I'm sorry. Baby, I promise I'll never put my hands on you again. I swear."
And see, when you hear all this, like, have you seen like viral clips of him, like when he's going nuts and stuff? Like, mm-hmm. He has lots of viral clips where he's just like screaming and carrying on. He's,
you know what?
Crazy.
Actually, I do remember a clip where it's something where he's like on the phone.
Listen to this one.
Okay.
"My brain to be used that like that. I got too much genius shit that the world needs to see and feel. Y'all got that work to do. That's why I pay everybody so I could do less work. That's the hustle. Did y'all know that's the hustle? You make enough money to pay everybody so you don't do shit but be as happy as you can be. I want to be happy. I pay too many people."
And he's like jumping up and down and with his stomping his feet. And like, there's ones where he's on the phone and he's slamming the phone. Like,
he kind of goes from 0 to 60 really quick in that clip. Yeah. And it's kind of Kanye-esque where he's kind of like, "I'm fucking brilliant. Like, I shouldn't have to be doing this stuff." You know, yeah. Where he just is kind of just views himself as a very, very important person.
Yeah. Yep.
So it goes on to say that, you know, she feels like she's heard this song one too many times and that he then spent the next 6 months helping her heal and working his way back into her life and into her bed. And she wrote, "I'm so damn stupid. And of course, I wasn't cast for either movie. From what I understand, the producer died of pneumonia." Oddly enough, Kim Porter died at the age of 47 from pneumonia also.
What?
It's worth noting that Kim Porter's kids don't believe Kim's death was a result of foul play. And they also want to emphasize that she did not write the memoir. Someone else did, allegedly based on the files recovered from this flash drive. I think it's interesting considering how much power Diddy has and how much power Diddy believes he has and the pain that he has caused so many people. For a producer to suspiciously just die from pneumonia and then Kim die from pneumonia also, allegedly right before this book was supposed to come out that she was allegedly writing. Like, I don't know. I can see how armchair detectives would just be chomping at the bit to be like, "Oh, this is all making perfect sense. He's a monster. He's a murderer," and whatever. I do think it's important to look at this with an open mind that not everyone always tells the truth. And I feel like there's the truth on one side, there's the truth on the other, and then the real truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? Like, I believe the victims who are speaking out now. As far as the Kim Porter situation, I don't know enough about it. I do feel like if these truly were excerpts from a flash drive that she owned, then it's very concerning. And it does seem to kind of fall in line with what everyone else is saying. So I do think there's room to believe it. it's unfortunate that she's no longer around to say if it's true or not.
Even without her whole entire story, like, there's enough to hang the dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, for sure. Aside from any involvement of Kim, anything to do with their relationship, these freak-off parties are very concerning.
It's wild. So I think that part of it is he was over all the years. First of all, I think it's interesting to point out that a lot of this happened before social media and before phones were like they are now. And how would it have been different? Just curious. Mm-hmm. But second, I think my conspiracy theory is that he has been filming all these people all these years, and he has so much dirt on people, which creates him so much leverage and power over people. And it's part of how he's gotten to where he's at in life.
I see because what you're saying.
Nobody can F with him.
So you're saying these secret videos might also include celebrities
that
he could threaten to release these videos if any of them speak out against him, like Epstein?
Yes. All of those celebrities that came to the parties, the Leonardo DiCaprios, the Justin Biebers, the everything, the people he helped, the people he invited, all those names you see, I think he probably has some level of filmed dirt on a lot of them. And guess what? Now all of these people who are also in positions of power, both financially and social class, if he ever needs anything in life, you know, you're going to give it to me. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give it to me, here's what can happen. That's what I thought. Give me the contact I need. Give me the thing I need. Give me the whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I don't know, not to discount the fact that the guy's become, if he is a billionaire or whatever he is, and all his hard work. I mean, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to go that path if you had dirt on everybody necessary to get where you need to go?
Yeah. You know, the frustrating thing with the Epstein case is that there was so much that was going to be revealed if Epstein would have gone to court, because a lot of documents would have come out about who was involved in a lot of these acts, right? And then Epstein dies under what are perceived as suspicious circumstances. He allegedly hung himself, but broke his hyoid bone, which is not typical in a hanging or a suicide. It's more common in being strangled. And the cameras just happened to not be working at the time that he died. And someone just happened to not be monitoring him at the time. Like, everything just seemed a little fishy. And it seemed like somebody probably killed Epstein to avoid the downfall of all these other people who were involved in his schemes. Like, let Epstein go down on his own, but don't drag everyone else down with him. That kind of theory, right? And so, as frustrating as that is, I feel like this is our second chance to see something like this happen, where the celebrities involved are going to have to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. Because if something happens to Diddy, then it's going to seem way too weird. Like, it's just going to seem... I don't know how to articulate this.
I get what you're saying. I get it. It's going to raise too many eyebrows. But a couple thoughts on that. Number one, I think that people are stupid, and I think that the medias do what they do, and they'll spin it, and it'll all be fine. And Diddy will, that's what happened. How weird. Or if he doesn't get killed, I can't imagine that something's going to come out truly exposing everybody and everything. There's too many powerful people with hands in the pot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In 2007, Tiger Woods, he was having an affair with that Mindy Lawton, the Perkins waitress.
Do you know about her, that?
He was having affairs with her.
Set it off.
Yeah, but Mindy Lawton was the Perkins waitress that he was banging like around the corner from his house. And he... The National Enquirer caught him in his Escalade with Mindy Lawton, and this is really gross, but Mindy Lawton had pulled out a tampon and thrown it in the parking lot, and they drove off. And the National Enquirer went out, picked up the tampon, had the DNA tested, and it was Mindy Lawton's, and it was rock solid. Like, hey, now we have the story. We're going to publish this. Well, crazy, shocking turn of events. Tiger Woods then appears in August of 2007 on the cover of Men's Fitness magazine, promoting the magazine, because the National Enquirer cut a deal with him that if he goes on the cover of the magazine and promotes their magazine, they won't leak the story of Mindy Lawton. So my point is like, there's always, in these super high profile, powerful people situations, and something like this P. Diddy or Epstein, where there's a whole web of people that are all intertwined in this madness. There's too many people at risk of being caught. So I feel like, you know, does Diddy go down and go to jail for life or prison? Maybe. Does Diddy get killed or does Diddy commit suicide off himself? Maybe. No matter how it plays out, though, I don't see a realistic scenario being, oh my God, look what happened at these freak-offs and everyone's exposed. And Oprah and Ashton Kutcher and all, oh my gosh, they're all exposed and everyone's going to be held accountable and Hollywood's going to be flipped upside down. Not going to happen.
It's too powerful. It's too powerful of a machine.
Yeah. There's way too many. Think of all of the people. Like, you think of these surface level celebrities and then think of behind them. Think of their agents, their finance people. Mm-hmm. There's too many people that would go down if the whole system goes down. So I feel like in my head, and call me conspiracy theory, right now it's just more of everything's being processed of, okay, how is this going to transpire? It's almost like it's already all...
like he's going to just go down with the ship, but it's going to just be him on it.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think this is going to flip Hollywood upside down. Do you?
Well, realistically, I think you're right. Like, if we're talking real life, reality, logic... yeah,
America
that's
in
probably
2024.
What's going to happen. Yeah. But I do kind of like seeing this turn of events where lately it seems like more people of power are being held accountable. And so the optimist in me would like to think that this could be the beginning of the downfall for a lot of shitty people. But I think that's just ignorant on my part. Because I'd love to see it, but do I really think it'll happen at the end of the day? Probably not.
I'm saying this from a completely, completely unbiased perspective. We're not going to dive into this at all, okay? But just headline reading, okay? Just headline reading. Donald Trump and all the indictments and, oh my gosh, and all these crimes. Then you have Joe Biden and you have all this, oh my gosh, Ukraine and money was filtered back to his family. Another scenario where, look, are you having people held responsible? Is Trump really being held responsible for his crimes? Is Biden being held responsible for his supposed crime? Is all these people going to be held? No, it's just all, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit.
It's smoke and mirrors. That's exactly it. The whole thing, all of it. Media is smoke and mirrors.
And we're all the stupid public puppets.
don't think we're stupid.
No, I don't want to say that, but like that's...
I think that's what they think of us.
That's how the media looks at us.
Yeah.
All of you puppets are just going to go ahead and continue latching on to all your theories, and they're going to ultimately spin the narrative exactly how they want to make the narrative.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And it's unfortunate, but I guess that's why you have podcasts where people can just speak openly about their thoughts and their opinions of it all and whether it's based in truth or not. I mean, I can read the indictments, I can read the court documents, but at the end of the day, I don't have as much reach as ABC or CBS or Fox or any of these major news media outlets.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, they're going to control the narrative and it's just your job to think critically and find out answers for yourself. And that's not just with Diddy, that's with everything.
Yeah. I'm glad you did this though, because I was curious. It's funny. I thought there was so much more to it. It's pretty much what I thought it was. But I enjoyed hearing your timeline of events and the details. I think this is the most famous person case we've ever covered.
It might be. Yeah. You know, when you originally wanted me to do it, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know much about Diddy. I'm not really in on all this. Like, and it's just not really my style to talk about this type of
like
true crime.
Pop culture crime.
Yeah, pop culture crime. Exactly. Like, it's just, I don't usually go down that road. And so truly, I didn't even know. When you kept asking me, I was like, I don't know. I keep seeing stuff, but I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. And then once I kind of got the chronological story, I was like, okay, well, yeah, that's basically what I've been hearing. Or like the gist of it, really. But yeah, it definitely makes me wonder like just how deep it goes. I think my curiosity is like, who else was involved? That's what I want to know is like, who are some of these other celebrities that were involved? Because allegedly Ashton Kutcher was heavily involved in some of these freak off parties.
But look at the Epstein lists.
I know, Epstein
lists are everybody and their brother. And that is...
Well, those are the flight logs. That doesn't necessarily mean that they were flying to the island to do something bad, but... Right. But I get what you're saying, though, is that like this list was released and these are people associated with Epstein, which by itself is bad news. But up until now, anyone associated with Diddy was because of their music career or whatever, right. You know. But now if you're associated with Diddy, it's going to be like, ooh, yikes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, good job on your pop culture crime
episode. Thanks. I'm exhausted.
Mama. Mystery.
Don't. Wait.
Oh.
You can't trust anybody.
Mama. Mystery. Out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.